Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yivamis Chaf Gimel. We are up to Chaf Beis Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We had a pasuk discussing the erva of Achoisoi, one's sister, with whom he may not interact with as married. Now, the pasuk speaks about the erva of Bas Eishes Avicha, sister being described as the daughter of your father's wife. Rabbanan learned from here that a sister can have two Isurim, A, sister, and B, daughter of his father's wife. Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda disagrees. The Isur is limited to Achoisoi, that's the only Isur involved. The pasuk, which describes her as Bas Eishes Avicha, is indicating to us, sister is only considered sister if she was born to somebody that his father can theoretically marry, as opposed to a Shivcha or a Yevedes Kechavim. A daughter hailing from that type of relationship is not considered his offspring and is not considered your sister. Asks the Gemara, how do you know that it's directed at a Shivcha, Avedes Kechavim? Perhaps, Ve'ema Prat Lachoyse Me'anusa. Suppose he has a sister from an Isha that his father was involved with in a non-marital situation. It was Anusa, a forced relationship. Perhaps that child doesn't relate back to her father and doesn't relate to you as a sister. Hahilo Imotes Amrs, you can't direct the pasuk at that situation. Even a child from such a relationship is considered a relative. Midirava, as Rava pointed out, the Rava had a seeming contradiction. Ksiv, in one pasuk we have, Ervas bas pincha, oy bas pitcha le sigala, don't interact with your grandchildren, because it's your descendant. Your offspring is considered an erva. We make a diyuk. Ha bas bina dida. It's his wife's grandchild. Ubas bita dida. Sure, his wife's grandchildren are not considered arayis to him. That's one pasuk. Only your offspring, not your wife's. Uksiv. In pasuk number two we have, Ervas isho bita lo isigala. Even your wife's children are considered arayis to you. Es bas bina, es bas bita. So how does this work? Okay, so how do we work this out? Kanbo Insan. This Isha is just an Anusa. In the process of a forced relationship, it's not a proper wife. In that case, if it's your offspring from an Anusa, it's considered your kids. But if it's only the other Isha, the Isha with whom he had an Oinus relationship, her kids are not related to you. Kanbo Nisun, but if it's a proper wife through marriage, then it's considered an erva irrespective of whether it's yours or her children. It's pretty clear that a child from an Oinus relationship is considered your child. It relates back to this person. Likewise, a sister produced through such a relationship is considered Nachaisai. So you can't suggest otherwise. Perhaps we're coming to exclude a sister produced through a Lav situation. His father interacted with her Isha, with whom he was not allowed to interact. A mom's Zeres. They had a child. That child is not considered your sister. Rashi says, because even from a Lav, even an Isha, who involves Lav, no Kedushin can work there. It's not considered Bas Eishes of it. It's not a type of Isha that can have a marriage with his father, Amar HaPapa. It's not true. Chayev Lav and Tafsibu Kedushin. A Lav situation. Even though he can't proceed, he's not allowed to marry this Isha, but if he proceeds and does Kedushin, that Kedushin takes hold. The Chsiv, we have a Pasuk to support this notion. We're speaking about a Bechor, a firstborn who has twofold privilege. He gets double inheritance. And the Pasuk says, Ki siyen l'ishtei nashim. A man happens to be married to two women. Ha'achas ahuva. One is liked. Va'achas senua, the other one is disliked. Even the child from the senua, from the Isha who is not liked, if he's a Bechor, he gets double portion. Of course, why would the Torah need to tell us that a child of a woman who's not really liked by her husband won't lose his Yerusha privileges? What relevance does his relating to his wife have anything to do with the halacha of the Torah? Does the Torah reckon with whether or not this wife is loved or not? How would it affect, how would it impact the Yerusha halacha? Ella, rather, the pasuk means ahuva, ahuva b'nesu'eha. Her marriage is praiseworthy, a proper marriage, a legitimate marriage. No lav, no isra involved. The word sunua means sunua b'nesu'eha. There's something inappropriate with the marriage. There's a lav involved. Does it work? Yes. B'amar achmana. How does the Torah relate to these women, to these marriages? Whether it's ahuva or sunua, with the words kisiyena. Lashon of Havai, Lashon of Kedushin, it's a valid Kedushin. Clearly, even a Chayav Elavin can have Kedushin. So we can't exclude a sister produced in this type of scenario. Okay, but there's one more option. Ve'ema prat l'chayav ekrusis. Perhaps we're going to exclude a sister who was born through a Kares relationship, a father interacted with, say, Isha, which involves Kares. That child doesn't relate to him, and therefore is not considered your sister. Amar Rava. Amar Krova, the pasuk says, a lashon which indicates that even this type of child is considered a daughter of that father, would be considered a sister with this fellow with whom she shares a father. Women that interact with a sister, whether daughter of your father, daughter of your mother, Merledes bayis, or merledes chutz, what does that mean? Bein she'emrim lo'ylavicha kayim. Whether she was born through a situation where they tell her father, you know what, hold on to this woman. She's suitable for you. A legitimate marriage, an appropriate marriage. Or, bein she'emrim lo'ylavicha hoitze. Merledes chutz means, we tell the father, get rid of this Isha. This Isha is not meant to be married to you. There's no kedushin here. Which basically means there's a curse involved. She's an erva. Even in this case, Omar Achmara, the pasuk refers to her as Achos Chahi, she's your sister. Apparently, even a sister produced in this type of circumstance is considered related to him, is considered his sister. Okay, if that's the case, let's include even a sister born through a Shivcha or a Goy. Ema. Why don't we say, Bein she'emer lo'y avicha kayim, whether we tell the father, hold on to this woman. Bein she'emer lo'y avicha yitzei, we tell him, get rid of this woman. V'amar achman achos chayim, the Torah refers to her as your sister, l'rabbis achosim is shivcha. Let's include even a daughter born from a shivcha or a guy. She also relates to her father and her brother with whom she shares that father. No, you can't say that. Omer kro. Bas eshes avicha. A sister is only one who is a daughter of your father's wife. And we learn, Eishes Avicha, a woman who theoretically can marry your father. Although in this situation, perhaps she's a Kares with her father, but this woman is an Isha Yisraelis who can theoretically marry her father. Mishi Eishla Eishes Levicha Bo. It's limited to somebody who theoretically her father can marry, Prat Lachosim Eshivcha, as opposed to a sister born through a maidservant or a guy who can't, even theoretically can't marry her father. So this pasuk excludes this situation. The shivcha, and the previous pasuk is inclusive. Even meledas bayis, meledas chutz, even if it's an inappropriate relationship, the child relates to him and relates to that brother with whom she shares a father. So one pasuk is in, one pasuk is out. Umar Rois, based on what, do you prefer this over that? One pasuk is inclusive, one pasuk is exclusive. How do you know which one goes to what? Why do we include Chayav Ekrusis and exclude the Shivcha and the Akum? Answers the Gemara. Mi'estavra Chayav Ekrusis, Havli L'Rabbis. It's logical, it's rational to assume that the Chayav Ekrusis are meant to be included, because they're not as bad as the Shivcha or the Akum. Shekein tafsi bohen kedushin la'alma, because this isha, even though to her father is a chayav krisis, but to other people, she's an ordinary woman. She can have kedushin with Shimon Levi and Yehuda down the road. So this isha is a potential isha to somebody out there. And therefore, even though in this context it's a chayav krisis with her father, she fits the bill. This child is called Bas Eisha Savicha, as opposed to a Shivcha, Ived Eske Chavim. Nobody in the Jewish nation can have Kedushin with this Isha. Therefore, that child is not considered Bas Eisha Savicha. Adrab. If anything, the other way around. Shivcha Ived Eske Chavim. Havli the rabbis. We should prefer the Shivcha, the Akum. You know why? Because this very Isha can theoretically marry her father. All she needs to do is become a ger. Di megayra lididei na mitafsi b'kedushin. She does gerus, she can marry even this particular fellow. That's something that the chayev krisis can't do. Well, l'chi megayra, of course, if she'll get a ger, gufa achrinahi, she converts, she becomes a different person. Not only does she get a new neshama, her whole body changes. You know, some sefer used to say that you can't bring a raya. Medically, you can't prove anything from the non-Jewish bodies because a Jewish body has kedusha. It's a different entity than a goyish body. There's a word from Rosh Raga 5 of Mendelowitz. Ashreinu ma'atev chalkeinu u'manoyim gorelenu ma'yafa yirishaseinu. To say, a Yid is unique and special on account of his neshama. U'ma'yafa yirishaseinu on account of his guf, his holy guf, that he heard it from his parent, from his ancestors, the Avos HaKadosh. So the guf changes. Of course, the Eved Eske Chavim can become a ger and then become suitable for this fellow, but then she's a different person. But in her current state, as she stands right now, she's not right to anybody, to him or to his next door neighbor. So she's worse off than the Chayiv Krisis that can theoretically marry somebody else in the Jewish nation. And therefore, we exclude the Achoisai from a Shivcha, from a Akum, and include the Achoisai from the Chayiv Krisis, or the Chayiv Lavin, or from the Oynes. Now this whole discussion pertained to Rabbi Bar Yehuda, because according to him, the Pasuk Basha Isha Savicha was an extra Pasuk. But according to the Rabban, who applied that Pasuk to teach us, that Achoisai can contain two possible Yisurim, sister and daughter of one's father's wife. Now, the Pasuk is unavailable to teach us that we're going to exclude a daughter, a sister, hailing from a Shivcha, from a Goy. Rabbanon lemu'ute Shivcha. How do they know to exclude this type of situation? That if his father interacted with a Shivcha or a Goy, that child is not considered his child, nor is it considered, is it considered a sister to this fellow with whom she shares his father, because the mother is the primary determinant. And if the mother is a goy, the child's a goy. How do they know this concept? Answers the Gemara. Nafka luhumu isha v'yolodea. Tiela denea. They learn from the Pasuk. In Paras Mishpatim. The maidservant's children belong to her master. We ignore the fact that the father was Jewish. So irrespective of who the father was, the children relate to the mother and back to the master. They're goy. For Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, why does he need two psukim? One erva special savicha, and now we have another pasuk, isha, yiladeh, tiladeneh. Answer is chad b'shivcha, v'chad b'vedes kechav. One for the shivcha, one for the goy. Tzricha, they're both needed. Each one contains an element that the other one doesn't, and you couldn't learn one from the other. Di yashmina shivcha. If only for shivcha, I would say mishum de'en lo chayis. Shivcha doesn't have any lineage. Masha brings the famous pasuk. Avram tells Yishmael, he says, Shvulochem im achamor. And the Eved is considered like a chamor. So Shivcha and Eved have no lineage. And therefore, they don't relate. Their children don't relate back to the father who's Jewish. Aval Eved is kechav nis lechais, but when a guy is born, there is some sort of yichus. Rashi brings a pasuk in Lachem Beis, Hadrimon ben Tavrimon. There's some sort of yichus there. So perhaps his child, which was born from a Goyish mother, is considered his child. Emolei, perhaps it's not going to be included in this halacha. So you need a pasuk for Goy also. If only for Goy, mishum zelo shaychav mitzvah, I'll say, yeah, over there, the child born from a Goyish mother doesn't relate back to him because there's no connection. That child has no mitzvahs. Aval shivcha the shaychav mitzvahs, but a child of a shivcha who's obligated in certain mitzvahs, emolei, perhaps there is a certain relation there. It's considered his child. It identifies back to the father, identifies with the brother. Tzricha, that's why we need a pasuk for both, for Shivcha and Avedus Kechavim. The mother is who determines. The child doesn't relate back to the Jewish father or to the Jewish brother. V'Rabbonon, now let's go back to Rabbonon. We're short a pasuk because Ashkon Shivcha. We have a pasuk which discusses Shivcha, right? Ha'isha, Yeladeah, Tila Deneah. What about a Goyish child? How do we know that a child born from a non-Jewish mother is not identified as a Jew despite the fact that her father was Jewish? Perhaps we can learn from Shivcha. Only equate the two. You can't. Hanu, Mitzrach, Tzrich. You need a pasuk for either one. Each one is its own separate pasuk, as we just explained. You can't compare the two things. How do we know that this concept holds true about the son of a non-Jewish mother? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. We have another pasuk for this. Amar Kro. The Torah warns against intermarriage and says, look, don't allow your son to marry their daughters. Don't allow your daughters to marry their sons. And on this part, your son, your daughter marrying their sons, the pasuk says, you know why? Ki Yasser has bincha me'acharai. Because that non-Jewish father will now take your son, basically your grandson, your daughter's son, who's Jewish, and lead him astray, take him away from Hashem. Clearly, the Torah is only concerned about that non-Jewish father taking your daughter's son away from Yiddishkeit, because he identifies as Jewish. He's considered, he's classified as Yisrael. But in the reverse, if it's your son interacting with a non-Jewish woman, that child identifies as non-Jewish. So we learn, Bincha Yisrael is kore Bincha. Your child, basically your grandchild, born from a Jewish mother, is considered your son. Because mother is who determines. Ve'ein Bincha Habo Men Avedes Kechavim kore Bincha, as opposed to a child, a grandchild born from a non-Jewish mother. He doesn't identify with you, with a Jewish grandfather. Ela Bana, she's the one that determines his yichus. Amar Avina, Avina learns from here. Shma Mina, Ben Bitcha Ba, Mina Eved Kechavim, a grandchild born from a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, Kari Bincha. He identifies with you. He's called Jewish. Bottom line is, we see from here that the mother is the primary determinant, she's the determinant factor, and if the child was born from a non-Jewish mother, he is not a Yisrael. Let's go into Ravina's statement. He says, even if the father is a guy, the child born from a Jewish mother is considered a Jew. Does Ravina really mean to say that Oyved Kechavim Ve'Eved, Habal Bas Yisrael Avad Kasher, a child born from a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father is considered perfectly fine and can marry even a Kayin? Is unaffected by the father? Is that what he meant? No. Not necessarily. Nehi de Mamzer Lehavi. Certainly he's not a Mamzer, but Kasher Nami Lehavi. Perhaps he's not a Kasher, he's in limbo. He's not perfectly Kasher. Yisrael Pasal Mikri is considered a tainted Yisrael and cannot marry a Kayin. Okay, that's a side point. One more Kasher we have. You learn from the pasuk of Ki Yosser is Bincha Me'acharai that it all depends on the mother. So if it's a Jewish mother, he's Jewish. A non-Jewish mother, then he's not a Yisrael. Hai b'shiva uma is ksiv. But you see, this pasuk is speaking about the seven primary nations which whom the Yisraelim encountered when they entered Israel, who were really infatuated with the Avodah Zarah. So perhaps there's room for distinction. By the Shuva Umais, we say, well, the mother carries away the child. She affects the child and he's considered non-Jewish because of their steadfast commitment to Avodah Zarah. But how would you know to apply to other nations around the world? Rashi brings the Gemara in Chulin that the Oivde Kechavim, five lines from the bottom, he says, Oivde Kechavim Shebechutz Loretz Lav Oivde Kechavim Him. You know, the ones in Chutz Loretz, they don't really understand what's going on. They just keep the traditions going. They keep the minhag and they keep the holidays and the ceremonies, but they're not really, really idol worshippers to the true extent. So perhaps they don't have this ability, this power to affect their child. So even if it's a non-Jewish mother, perhaps the child identifies as Jewish. How would you know to include them? Ki yasser. The extra words ki yasser is l'rabbis kol mesirim, is including all those goyim who lead the children astray. They all affect their children. Hanich l'Rabbi Shimon. This works according to Rabbi Shimon. Darish tam adakra, because typically Rabbi Shimon focuses and expounds on the reason for a mitzvah. Even if the pasuk doesn't actually state the reason, Rabbi Shimon would explore the reason for the mitzvah and base halachas on that rationale. Rashi brings the Gemara in Rav Metzia about taking a mashkin. And I meant to take a mashkin, a collateral from an almana, from a widow. And Rabbi Shimon says, you know why? Because if she's poor and you have to give it back to her every night for personal use, that's the halacha, then you're generating inappropriate rumors about inappropriate behavior by coming back to her night after night. So that's the reason behind the halacha. And therefore, he says, Rav Shimon, if she's an ashira, if she's self-sufficient, she doesn't need this beggar, this collateral to be returned to her on a nightly basis, there's no concern about taking it from her. This is Rav Shimon's chiddush. He takes on the meaning, takes on the reason, the rationale behind the mitzvah is incorporated in the structure of the mitzvah. So according to Rav Shimon, even without the words ki yasser es bincha, I would understand. I would on my own present the reason why intermarriage is to be avoided, because our children will be led astray. There's no need for the pasuk to add the words ki yasser. It's common sense. The fact that the Torah adds it is a ribui, and indeed it's going to include all the other nations as well, as we explained. But according to the Rabbanon. So again, Hanich l'Rav Shimon d'Darash Tam d'Kro. This works according to Rav Shimon, who expounds on the reason for the halacha. So we have extra words here, unnecessary phrase kev kiyasa, which is meraba all the other nations. El Rabbanon menalu. According to Rabbanon, we never explore the reason for the mitzvah on our own. Therefore, the Torah has to explain it. Kiyasa, the reason why I'm not allowing this intermarriage is because they're leading your children astray. And perhaps the Torah is actually telling you this is restricted and limited to the Shiva Umayis, who in fact are committed, totally committed to idol worship and will have that effect on your children. What about other nations? We don't know. Perhaps it won't apply to other nations. El Rabbanam and Elu, according to Rabban, how do we know to include other nations as well? And says the Gemara, because this Mandama happens to be Rav Shimon. Man Tana, the Paul Gleider Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Actually, who's the Tana who disagrees with Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda? Meaning, who are the Rabbanon in this Brisa who we're speaking about here? Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon, we're taken care of. We include all the other Goyim because of the Rebbe. So, in conclusion, there's an erva called Achoisai. According to the Rabbanon, Achoisai can theoretically entail two Yisurim, one sister. Number two, she's also Bas Eshes Avich. According to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, it's limited to Achoisai. Bas Eshes Avich, that's coming to tell you that if this sister was born to an Isha with whom your father can't even theoretically interact, she's a Yishivcha. She's a Vedis Kechavim who can't have Kedushin. That child is not considered his child. Does relate back to that father, because the mother determines her identity, and likewise, it doesn't relate to this brother with whom she shares his father. So this concept that mother determines mother establishes yichus applies to shivcha and to avedus kechavim. We have psukim for both. The rabbanon as well hold of this concept, and they have their psukim that in halacha mother determines and not the father. Continues the Mishnah. Mi shekidesh achas mishtei achoyis. This fellow was mekadesh one of two sisters. Problem is, he doesn't know which one. Ve'ein yideya eize mehen kiddush. Unsure of which one he was mekadesh. So he was mekadesh either Rachel or Leah, who are both sisters. The Gemara will explain to us how exactly this happened. In any case, what's the solution? Noisein get lazu, ve'get lazu. He applies a get to Rachel and to Leah. Very simple. What happens if Mace, he passes away without children? V'lo yach, and he has one brother. Echad. V'lo yach echad, he has one brother. Cholet l'shteyen, so this brother will now do chalitza to Rachel and to Leah to address their possible yibum obligations. Now, why can't he just be miyabim? Rashi discusses this. He says, look, you can't do yibum to start off because maybe this is not really his yivam. And maybe this woman, Rachel, was not really married to his brother. What happens then? He's getting involved in Achois Zukukase, the sister of the real yivam, who's like his wife. So it's like marrying his wife's sister, that's us. Nor can't he go ahead and do Chalitza first, let's say to Rachel, and then approach Leah and do Yivam. You know why? Because there's a concern that Rachel was the real Yivam, and the Chalitza done to Rachel was really valid. She is a Chalutza, and we know that one may not marry a relative of his Chalutza. Achoyitz Chalutza is Aser, as we're going to see at the end of the Daf. Listen to Rabbono. The only possible solution here is Chalitza Ashtayan. Do Chalitza to both. Suppose the fellow passed away. The fellow who did the Kedushin passes away, leaving behind two brothers. Oh, Echad Choletz ve'echad Meyabim. Now you have a better solution. So he leaves behind two fellows. One will do Chalitza to one of the two women here. And look, either way it's okay. If this was the real Yivam, this was the real wife married to his brother, then she's been addressed. And the Chalitza takes away the Zika, dissolves the bond, the obligation. And now her sister, Leah, is free to go. There's no concern there. She's not a sister of the Yivam. The Yivam is no longer here. He deactivated the Yivam by doing Chalitza to the first woman. On the other hand, if really the second Isha is the Yivam, perfect. So then she'll go and do Yivam. So Echad Choletz ve'echad Miyavim. One brother will do Chalitza to Rachel, the other brother will do Chalitza to Leah, and we're safe. This ability, this luxury we have only because it's two brothers. So one will do Chalitza and the other Yibum. Kadmo v'kanzu. Suppose both jumped into it and both did Yibum. One brother to Rachel, one to Leah. Ein meitzin miyadam. You can't separate them. You know why? Because firstly, each fellow could say, look, I'm the lucky one. I encountered the real Yavama. You can't take it away from me. Disprove it. And Rashi adds, even at the worst case, it turns out that the first fellow made a mistake. She wasn't really his Yavama. She wasn't really the wife. So he was involved in the sister of a Yavama. Okay, that's a problem. But once his other brother marries a second woman, who in fact turns out to be the real Yivama, by doing that, the Zika is Paka. He dissolves the Zika. Meaning, the first one can stay married. At the time it was Aser, when he married her, it was still before her counterpart had Yibum. The sister had Yibum. It was a problem. She was a choy zekuka, but once the sister got her yibum, it's over. There's no more zika to interfere. So everybody can hold on to their wives. Okay, that's the first case in the Mishnah. So one fellow approaches two women who happen to be sisters. He's mekadesh one. We're not sure which one. There's a double get, a double chalitza, or in the case of two brothers, chalitza and yibum. What if it's shnayim shekitchu shtei achayis? Two fellows, unrelated, not brothers, who approach two sisters and do a kiddushin. Ze eni yedei eizei kiddush. Reuven doesn't know who he was mekadesh. Veze eni yedei eizei kiddush. Nor does Shimon know who's his wife. What's the solution? Ze noisin shnei gitin. Veze noisin shnei gitin. Each one will have to apply a double get. Mesu. If both fellows passed away, Lezeach, Reuven left over a brother, and so did Shimon. Zecha Yosef Shtein. This brother will do Chalitza to both women, just in case one of them happens to be his Yivama. And likewise, the fellow on the other side of the equation will do the same, a double Chalitza. What if it's Lezeachat? Reuven passes away, leaving behind one brother. Lezeachnaim, and Shimon has two brothers. Hayachid Chayles L'Shtein. The single brother has to do double Chalitza. He can't take a chance and do any Yibum. He might get involved with these Surim. But on the other side of the story, Vashnayim, Shimon's family, which has two brothers, here we could accommodate both Yivamis. Echad Chayles V'Echad Miyabim. We can allow for a Yibum. Because one brother will do Chalitza to start off. And the other one will do Yibum. As we explained earlier, this way he's safe. Kadmu v'kantzu, suppose both brothers jumped into it. Each one took an isha. Ein mayitzin miyadim, you can't separate. As we explained earlier, because although they shouldn't have done it, once it's done, it's done. L'zeshnaim l'zeshnaim. Suppose Reuven and Shimon both left behind two brothers. You have two brothers on either side of the story. Oh, now you can actually accommodate both women and apply Yibum to both. How? Using the following arrangement. You have to cover all possibilities. Right? You have to take into account all possibilities. But ultimately, each Isha can have a Yibum. How? So you have two brothers on Reuven's side, two brothers on Shimon's side. Och if shel ze. So one brother on Reuven's side, one of the two brothers, Chaylitz lachas, do chalitza to Rachel. Va'achal shazet, and likewise on the other side of the equation, on Shimon's side, one of those two brothers will do chalitza to Leah. Va'achal shazet, chaylitz lachas. Okay, now, achav shazet, let's go back to Reuven's side. Achav shazet, miyabim chalitza shazet. The other brother, right? The second brother on Reuven's side, the first brother did chalitza to Rachel. The second brother can now be miyabim, chalitza shashazeh, he'll be miyabim Leah, who got chalitza from the fellow on Shimon's side. V'achav shazeh. And the second brother on Shimon's side, the fellow did not do chalitza, miyabim chalitza shashazeh, he'll do yibim to Rachel, who has already received chalitza from the first brother on Reuven's side. So basically, the idea, the concept is very simple. That you have all bases covered, all possibilities are addressed. Right? We're not sure which side Racha belongs to, which side Leah belongs to. She can either have been his wife or his wife. So both families have to address both women. Right? So you start with a chalitza coming from Reuven's family to one of the women. And that allows her, let's just break it down, that allows her, let's say it's Rachel, that allows Rachel now to take a Yibum from Shimon's side. Right? She's covered. If I belong to Reuven's side, I got Chalitza from there. If I belong to Shimon's side, I'm going to go get Yibum there. And likewise Leah. She gets her Chalitza from Shimon's side of the family, then moves over to Reuven's side and gets her Yibum. But we have to keep in mind that the process has to start with a chalitza. Why? Because you're never sure of what's going on. You can't start with a yibum. Maybe it's the other Isha who's the real Yivama, and she's the sister of the Yivama. So you never can take that chance. You have to start the process with a chalitza. Right? And once you do chalitza, you can't go and marry her. She's your chalutza. The only one that can is the other side. The other family. Because they can say, look, either she had her chalitza through you and I can marry her, now she's allowed to marry out, or she wasn't really your Yivama to begin with, she's my Yivama, I'm doing Yibum. And this duplicates itself. Once with this Isha, once with the other. Bottom line is, Rachel got a chalitza and a Yibum. Chalitza from this family, Yibum from the other. And Leah went the other way, she got chalitza from this family and Yibum from her. So bottom line is, both women are now married, happily married. Suppose they didn't follow this directive. So let's say two of Reuven's brothers jumped in and did chalitza to both, Rachel and Leah. So don't think they've been addressed by Reuven's family and now Shimon's family can just go and do yibum to both. No, you can't do that. Why? Because you never know what's going on. If you jump into yibum right away, if Shimon's two brothers go straight into Yibam, maybe the first fellow who's going to do the first Yibam is running into the sister of the real Yivama. That's not a proper approach. Rather, do as instructed earlier. The two remaining brothers on Shimon's side, one should do Chalitza to Rachel, and the other one Yibam to Leah. If they both jump into it, there's nothing you can do. Sure, it's not recommended, but after the fact, they hold on to their wives. So this fellow approached two women, and he was Mekadosh. He doesn't know which one. Shema Mina, we can learn from here, Kedushin She'ein Mesurin Labia, a Kedushin which doesn't lead into a physical interaction, into actual Bia, such as in this case, because there's a suffix. Which one of the sisters are his? He can't marry any other one. This Kedushin works. Kedushin She'ein Mesurin Labia, have a Kedushin. It seems like it works, and it's really a whole shaila, it's a whole sukkah in Gemara and Kedushin. It's actually machlokes abaye v'rava. Whether this type of Kedushin could even have any effect. Hachav my Skinner was speaking in the following case. Kisha Hukru. Initially, their identities were known. He knew who he was Mekadosh. Ulaba Saifnis Arva. Then, there was confusion. Then, he misidentified. I was unsure. So the Gemara in the Havamina thought, Rashi explains that there was a fellow approaching two women. He says, one of you two are Mekudosh to me, and they made a shliach amongst themselves and accepted the money from him. The identity of his wife is inherently an unknown factor. Does that work? That's not what we're speaking about. We're speaking that he was Mekudosh one, and then they forgot. Deikonami, the wording in the Mishnah indicates as such. That we're speaking about this case where it was originally known. Diktani ve'ena yodeya, says he doesn't know, he forgot. Diktani ve'ena yodua, doesn't say it's unknown. It was known, just they forgot. Shmami no, that's a right. Maika mashmon, what's the point of the Mishnah? He doesn't know which one is his wife, he has to apply a double get, isn't that self-evident? Say vitzrichle, the next part is the chiddush. We speak about Mace, he passes on, v'le'ach, and leaves a brother, v'le'ach echad, right? Chalitza l'shteyen, he does chalitza to both. Ha'ilu shnayim, he has two brothers behind. Echad chalitz v'echad miyabim, so one brother does chalitza, one does yibam, and the chiddush is dafka in this case, dafka michlatz. He has to start with a chalitza, v'ad yivum, and that can follow with a yibam. Right? You have two brothers, one can do chalitza, and then the other one does yibam. Because this way you cover all possibilities. Aval yivumi bereshalay, but one of the brothers can't do yibum right away. The kapaga b'chayisu kukos, there's always a chance that he's getting involved with the sister of his real yivama. That's not allowed. So the only proper way to do it is by having one brother do chalitza first, and then the other brother yibum, and now he's safe. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah, we have Shnayim. Shekitu Shteachayis. Two fellows, unrelated, not brothers. So two strangers approached two women, two sisters, did a Kiddushin, and we don't know who's to whom. Once again, the same Kasha. Shema Mina, is he arrived from here? Kiddushin Shein Mesurin Labia, have a Kiddushin. A Kiddushin which can't lead to Bia is valid. Such as in this case, we don't know who's whom, and you can't marry either one because each one is a possible. Achos Ishtoi. Hachanam here as well was speaking Kishahukru. It was known originally, Uluba Seifness Avra, and then there was confusion. The Ekanami, the wording in the Mishnah indicates as such, the Ktoni Vein Yodea, he doesn't know. Voloi Ktoni, rather than Vein Yodua, that it's unknown. Shmamina, it was really known at one point. What's the chiddush of this second part of the Mishnah, which pretty much is a duplication of the first part, the same concepts based on the same principles? So what's the point? Sefer Strichle, the point is for the next part. Mesu leze echad. So the Gemara's kasha really is, what's the point here to teach you that you have to make a double get? Isn't that obvious? It says the Gemara, Sefer Strichle, the chiddush is in the Sefer when they passed away. Mesu, both fellows passed away. Leze echad. One fellow leaves behind one brother. Leze shnayim. The other fellow has two brothers. Hayachad chalis eshtein. The single brother does a double chalitza. Vashnaim, with the two brothers, you can get around it. Echad choylitz, the first one does chalitza to one of the sisters. Vechad miyabam, the brother, the remaining brother is safe with the yibam to the second isha. Pshita, well, that's not a chiddush. Hainu reisha, this is an exact mirror of the reisha. This is a duplication of the concepts that we learned in the reisha. We also had a similar halacha that he passed away. You do chalitza before the yibam. Why repeat it? Maudotema, perhaps there would be a room to say that in this case we shouldn't allow it. We should not allow the two brothers to go ahead and do chalitza and then yibum. Ligzer tre atuchad. You see, in this case, since on one side of the equation we have one brother, right? He left behind one brother. And on the other side, Shimon leaves behind two brothers. If we allow the two brothers to alternate, to do a chalitza and then a yibum, it might lead to the single brother doing the same. He might also do a yibum. Ligzer treya tuchad. Let's not allow the two to do it on account of the one. Kamash malon. The chiddush is no concern. V'davka michlatz v'ad yibumi. But you have to keep in mind, this only works if the single brother first does chalitza to both women, and then the double brothers do their chalitza and yibum system. Aval yibumi b'reisha loy, but if they do their system first, they do their yibum first, before the single brother does his chalitza, that's a problem, a big problem. You're taking a chance of the kapaga b'yivama b'lushuk, perhaps you're going to be encountering a real yivama. The other fellow's yivama who can't marry out. To circumvent this concern, we have to have the single brother, Reuven's brother, do chalitza to both, and then Shimon's two brothers can take care of the two women. One will do yibum, one will do chalitza, followed by yibum. L'zeh shnayim. In the last and final case of the Mishnah, we have Reuven leaving behind two brothers, Shimon leaving behind two brothers. Hasulamli, what's the point of mentioning this? Hainuach, this is mamash, the exact halacha as we just mentioned. When you have two brothers, the first one can do the chalitza, and the other one does the yibum. What's the added chiddush in this case? Ma'udat tema, perhaps there is a concern here. Ligzer dilma meyabim belechalitza. You see, keep in mind, this is a very unique case. In the last case of the Mishnah, both women will be addressed. Both will have yibum by way of this arrangement. So in the ratio where you're not actually applying yibum to both, so certainly they'll be mindful of the fact that you have to follow the system. You have to chalitza and then the yibum. But in this case, when both women are going to be addressed and accommodated and get married, perhaps they'll neglect the chalitza requirement. Ma'od ha'tema ligzer dimo miyabim lechalitza. Perhaps they'll approach yibum without chalitza at all. Kamashmon, the chiddush is we're not concerned. Now I ask the Gemara Akash. Here comes Akash. Maishna modesnan. Why is this Mishnah different than a different Mishnah? You see, in this Mishnah we say that, you know, l'chatchilu, you have to follow a certain system. You have two sisters, you need to do the chalitza to the first one, and then yibum to the second one. But the Mishnah says that if they jump into it, they both marry, you can't separate. You can't force them out. Perhaps they did it right, and it's too late. Which sounds like, even though the Isha was also at a certain point, but once it's done, it's done. And you assume that she's somehow becoming mutter, because the other sister was taken care of, and perhaps she's the Yavama, and this one's not really the Yavama. Hold on to her. Ma'ish no modest not. Why is it different than the Halach in the following Mishnah? Arba achim, four brothers, shnai men nusun shtei achayis, two of which are married to two sisters. Reuben and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, who happen to be sisters. Umeis nusun es achayis. Reuben and Shimon pass on. Levi and Yehuda are the two Yevamin. They can do the Yibum to the two sisters. Can they? No. Hare'elu cheltes. Chalitza is the only option because you can't be miyavim a sister of a Yevama. Why? The Gemara gives two reasons. Either because of the Yesh Zika concern, because Zika is so powerful. This Yibum obligation is so bonding and so committing that each one of these two Yevamas are treated like your wife's sister, because a Yevama is like a wife and her sister is like your wife's sister. So you can't do Yibum to either sister. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, forget about Zika. We don't want you to jeopardize the mitzvah Yibum. We have two brothers here, right? Levi and Yehuda. If Levi marries one of the sisters, perhaps right then Yehuda will pass away. And now the other sister is stranded without any possibility of doing a mitzvah Yibum or Chalit, because Levi is already married to Rachel. And now Leah is Levi's wife, Rachel's sister. There's a concern of Asur Levatel Mitzvah Sivam. You're not allowed to do something which might jeopardize the Mitzvah Sivam. That's why we say, you know, both brothers do Chalitza. And the Kasha is, why don't we say as follows? Rachel became a Yevama. Leah became a Yevama. Do chalitza to Leah. When Rachel was Naifel, she was mutter. Alone Yevama. Perfect. When Leah arrived, Leah being a sister of Rachel, she introduced an interfering factor to the equation. Rachel is now a sister of Leah, who's also Yevama. Take care of Leah. Do chalitza to Leah. Remove her from the scene. And now Rachel should be allowed to have Yibum. You don't say that. No, you say once Rachel is Asr Yibum, she remains Asr for all time. Once Asr, always Asr. And in our Mishnah, we seem to hold differently. We're not concerned about this. Once Asr, always Asr. We have a case of two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Don't know which one is the Yevama, which one isn't. You can't get involved with either one. You can't start with Yibum. But the Mishnah clearly says, if both brothers jump into it, one takes Rachel, one takes Leah, aim with Tzim Yadam, be the evidence, you can hold on to the wife. What do you mean? I thought a Yevama, which is once Asr, is always Asr. Achi Hashta, says the Gemara, how could you compare the two? Awesome. Over there it's so different. If the halacha over there by the four brothers is based on the Zika concept, yesh Zika. Well, that iser generated through Zika, where we treat a Yevama like your wife and her sister like your wife's sister, that remains for all time. She becomes an iser, like an erva. She becomes like a regular sister-in-law, like an eshes ach, which has no yibum potential. She becomes aser for all time. If the reason there is based on the concern of jeopardizing the mitzvah, well, that too has a permanent effect on the yevamis. Asur levatel mitzvah yevamim. And again, the point is, once a yevama becomes asur, if she's really your brother's wife, eshesach, what the point of nefila becomes aser, that iser makes us look at her like an erva. She's a regular sister-in-law, brother's wife. She's not a yevama, and that remains aser forever. She's bekares. As opposed to our sugya, it's a totally different picture. Hacha, over here. Kol chad v'chad, every brother, Amor, he can say, didei, komisramile. He got the isha, who was destined for him, who was meant for him. What does this mean? It's so different here. Look, we have Rachel and Leah. But only one of them is the real Yevama. This fellow was only Mekadesh one of the two sisters. It's so different than that Mishnah where both are Yevamis, both are Eshasach. No, over here, a fellow approached two sisters, was Mekadesh only one. We're not sure which one. And when he passes away, only one is the Yevama. We're not sure which one, but only one is the real Yevama. So now, we have these two brothers, which he left behind. Don't take chances. Don't do Yibam first. She might be the wrong one. But let's say they do the Yibam first. And they both marry. One takes Rachel, one takes Leah. There's no concern anymore. Suppose Rachel was the real Yevama. Right? So the first fellow was lucky. He got the right one. The other fellow married Leah. Well, guess what? If Rachel is the real Yevama, then Leah is totally mutter. So although initially, don't take chances. You don't know which one is the right one. Which one is the Yevama? Which one is the sister of the Yevama? The Achayzakuka. That's good. That's a good recommendation. That still holds true. You shouldn't be doing that. Don't take a chance. But at the end of the day, after the fact, after he was already mayabim, he married Rachel. Leah's mutter memanav shach. If Leah's a real Yevama, then you're safe with her. If she's not a Yevama, what does that mean? She was never married to this fellow. He only married one. It's so different in that case. Here he only married one. It's either or. And therefore, in this case, the whole concept of once us or always us is not applicable. That only applies to a real Yevama, to a real brother's wife. She's not a Yevama, then she's an Erva. And once that Shem, once that Isser, Erva, is Chal, once it's applied, it never leaves her. Even if the reason for the Isser is gone. Because she's been relabeled as an Erva. Once relabeled, always relabeled. But here, it's a totally different case. Right? You have this fellow who approaches two sisters, Rachel and Leah. He's Mekadesh only one. When he passes away, leaving behind two brothers. They don't know which one's the Yevama. Don't take a chance, because she might be the Yevama's sister, which is Achay Zekuka. But if they both went out and married, it's too late. There's no reason to separate them, because once the Yevama, wherever she is, got Yibum, her sister is now no longer Achay Zekuka. There's no Zika. The Zika has been dissolved. And the sister is not an Erev, because she was never married to this fellow's brother. She's just a strange woman. Therefore, you can hold on to her. Big difference. Beautiful. Continues the Gemara. Kodmu v'kansu e'matzin miyadim. So the chatchila, you're supposed to do chalitza and then yibam, but if they both jump into it, you can't separate them. Tani is Shila. Shila learns in the Braisa, afilu shneim kehanim, even both brothers are kehanim. And this is referring to the last case in the Mishnah, where we made that whole arrangement to allow for both women to get Yibam. We do Chalitza to both, and then Yibam to both. And now, what happened was, instead of following instructions, they did as follows. So Reuben and Shimon passed away, and they left behind each one two brothers. Two brothers on Reuben's side did Chalitza to both women. One of them is certainly a valid Chalitza, whichever one was the real Yevama. Now, on Shimon's side, both Kehanim jumped into it, and they went and married both of them. One of them is certainly a Chalutza. They can hold on to them. My time of why? Chalutza, the Rabbanon. This whole concept of marrying Chalutza is only the Rabbanon. V'safik Chalutza, l'gozer Rabbanon, Chacham did not prohibit holding on to an Isha who is a Safik. We don't know which one's the Chalutza, and especially it's a situation of a possible mitzvah, so you hold on to her. Really? V'chalutza, the Rabbanon? It's only the Rabbanan, but Tanya, the Braisa says it's the Braisa. A Kohen may not marry a Grusha, only a La Grusha, perhaps only a divorcee. Chalutza Manayin, Isha Chalitza. is usher as well. How do we know? Tamulayma v'isha. It says v'isha, grusha v'isha, the extra v'isha is telling you a chalitza as well. So it's the raisa, it's not the rabbanon. Midrabbanon, no, it's really only midrabbanon. Ukras machta ba'amu. This is only a support, a remiss from the pasuk, but really it's midrabbanon. Therefore, in this case, we allow it. Okay, let's do a brief chazara. We learned about the erva v'achoysoi. Achoys is only if it's from an isha yisraelis, as opposed to if his father interacted with a shivcha or a goy. Mother determines the status of the offspring, in which case it relates back to the mother, it's not considered his child, and likewise, she's not considered the sister of this fellow with whom she shares a father, because father is not part of the equation. We have psukim for shivcha, for goy, whether according to Rabban, according to Rabbi Yehuda. We continue with the Mishnah, where there was a Safek Kedushin. We had two parts to the Mishnah. One fellow was Mekalish, either Rachel or Leah. He passed away, left behind either one brother or two brothers. We have two variations in that first part of the Mishnah. We have the second part of the Mishnah where two fellows were Mekalish, and they're not sure who they were Mekalish. We have three possible scenarios in that circumstance. Either each fellow left behind only one brother, or he left behind one, and the other fellow left behind two, or in the final case, each brother left behind two surviving brothers, and the point is we're trying to avoid any Yisurim, trying to avoid Achayis Chalutza, and Achayis Sekuka, but the evidence, they jump into it, Kadbo Vekintzu, we don't force them out, and we concluded with the din of Safek Chalutza, which is Mutter, because the Isser to a Kohen is only Midrabbanan. All of STUN, much, much Hatzlacha.